When notes from an old meeting are a hot topic on Wall Street. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We learned today that there's been a downturn in contractors breaking new ground for houses and especially apartment buildings. Housing starts were down 11% in October, although permits, which give us a better sense of the future, show building applications are on the rise. Also today, policymakers at the Federal Reserve will release notes from their last official discussion about the economy and interest rates. Quincy Crosby is market strategist at Prudential Financial.
We'll be looking for any color on how they see the meeting coming up in December. That's what the market is focused on. Do we get that first Fed rate hike? Any color on whether or not they see the stronger dollar hurting U.S. economic activity? Are they worried about oil prices, which we know they want to see oil prices rise to give us some inflationary pressures? Anything about international events? Now, mind you, this is well before the attack in Paris. We've already heard from most of the Fed members since that meeting. So it's doubtful there's going to be anything new. But it's a market that really is desperate for any nugget. It could be one sentence, one word that helps them decide whether or not the Fed is going to move in December.
The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.29% now. Two flights from the U.S. to Paris were diverted temporarily last evening after anonymous threats. A flight from Los Angeles stopped in Salt Lake. One from Washington Dulles diverted to Halifax, Nova Scotia after searches of passengers and aircraft. Both Air France flights were sent on their way. Business reporter Theo Leggett from our partner broadcaster, the BBC, has been looking into efforts to tighten airline security in recent days.
The emphasis now within the airline industry seems to be on risk-based assessments of passengers. So in the future, there may be more acknowledgement that, say, an 86-year-old grandmother is not such a big security risk as a young man travelling to a potentially suspect destination, paying for his ticket in cash and travelling one way. But in the wake of the Sharm el-Sheikh bombing in particular, there's also going to be a lot more emphasis now, I think, on people who work in airports, the airside workers.
Now, how do airlines and airports around the world coordinate? It's certainly not an ad hoc process, is it?
No, it's not, David. There are, in fact, international rules on what should happen in airports, so that passengers should be screened and that luggage should be screened. The problem is that implementing those minimum standards is down to the countries concerned. So whereas an airport like London Heathrow might have the most up-to-date scanners and highly paid, very expert staff, a regional airport somewhere in the developing world might not have quite such high standards. And of course, if your security staff are poorly paid and open to bribery, that's not going to work.
But problems are not just confined to these regional airports in the developing world.
Frankly, problems can occur anywhere, and the human element is a major factor here.
The BBC's Theo Leggett. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
It is high season in the high-end art market. Just last week, we reported on a Modigliani, which sold for $170 million, and global art sales are expected to top last year's record of $54 billion. As Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, the growing market is prompting strategies to get people into the art market who are doing well, but who aren't fabulously rich.
We'll start in the dark. In the rain, in a large-scale art installation called The Rain Room, attracting sell-out crowds at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art.
Rain Room, as such, is a very formalist artificial rainstorm which surrounds you but doesn't affect you.
You don't get wet. Hans Koch is one of the co-founders of the art collective Random International, which created The Rain Room. The installation was commissioned by and is on loan from the high-end home store Restoration Hardware and its CEO.
Restoration Hardware, Gary Friedman, needed a work to start, kick off his art collection.
But The Rain Room is about more than being a corporate art world do-gooder. Restoration Hardware, turns out, is also in the business of selling art. It has an art website where you can drop $11,000 on an original oil painting. It's selling art in some of its stores.
There is huge growth in the art market.
Philip Hoffman heads the Fine Art Fund Group, an art investment house.
People would like to get into it and feel like they have a little bit of value, something in the art world.
Amazon Art is also trying to sell art outside the traditional gallery setting. I can buy toilet paper and just a few clicks away buy a $140,000 Andy Warhol print or a $300 painting titled Fluffy Cat. Now, it's hard to say how successful these ventures are, but
I think the upside is that it sort of makes art more accessible to more people.
That's Alan Bamberger, an art consultant from artbusiness.com. He says the challenge for Amazon and for Restoration Hardware is to be distinctive about the type of art they offer, like a gallery might. Distinction that could be helped along by a high-profile piece of art like the Rain Room. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And there's a big merger today in the bottled industrial gas industry, subject to antitrust review. Air Liquide of France wants to buy Airgas of the U.S. for $10.3 billion. Among other things, Airgas does oxygen for hospitals, CO2 for soda fountains, and it claims it's the largest supplier of nitrous oxide in America. I thought that honor goes to Volkswagen. Oh, wait, those are nitrogen oxides. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.